This is the operator. The recording is on.
Thank you very much. This is David Olive, Vice President for Policy Development Support. I want to thank the members of the GNSO stakeholder and constituency group leaders and some of their executive members for being on this call today. We have a limited period of time for 45 minutes to discuss the topic of the Montevideo statement and other developments. We have here, I will just briefly serve as a moderator for this. We have on the call, obviously, Michaela Nyland, Lisa Cooper, Bill Drake, Jonathan Robinson, Robin Gross, Tony Holmes, Keith Drasik, Maria Marie Law, and some other executives, Claudio, Chris Volker, are also with us in listening mode. With that, we would like to, again, thank you for being here, and I would turn it over to Fadi for a few remarks, and then we'll open it for questions and answers from the GNSO stakeholder and constituency leaders. Fadi, I'd like to turn it over to you now, if I could.
Okay, this is Fadi. Again, I apologize for some background noise, but I'm at an airport, so please bear with me. Can you hear me all right, please, despite the background noise?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Very well, very well. Well, thank you. Thank you all for making the time. I know this is always intruding on a million things on your plate, but I understood that many of you had asked for a little time together so we can absorb some of the recent events that have occurred, both emanating from the Montevideo statement, but then beyond that into some of the repercussions and follow-ups after that statement. Let me just start by saying many of you have been walking this journey with me over the last few weeks. I know I've seen Bill and Robin and others in Bali and in other places. I know I've bumped into many of you. Jonathan and I were together in Munich a few days ago. And so I'm certain that most of you have pieces of this put together as the events have been quite fast and coming. But let me at least just step back and make sure we're in sync at two levels. There are two parallel stories going on here. At one level, we have the discussion about ICANN itself and how ICANN needs to become a more global organization. And that involves really two parts. One part has to do with the IANA function, and one part has to do with ICANN itself and its legal, global legal posture, as well as its relationship with the community through affirmation of commitment. And this is a track on its own that needs to be needs to evolve calmly. We have absolutely no pressure and rush to do that in any way that would jeopardize the core stability of what we're doing. And this is an activity that needs to happen very much within our community. We should do it with full disclosure, with full review, with full commitment that as ICANN evolves into a more global organization, it does so in alignment with the community and how the community would like to see that happen. So that's one side. The other side, which is the more critical side today, because it's the side that developed a lot of speed and a lot of momentum, is the discussion about the global internet governance space. And I think that space, which has been brewing for a while, has come to a head recently because we realized that it's been almost a year since the wicket, and there haven't been truly any progress in addressing the many questions the middle countries were asking back in Dubai. And by the middle countries, as you know, we very clearly understood that whilst there are extreme views from some countries and communities about how internet governance should work, there are the great majority of countries and communities are in the middle, and they're searching for a solution without an ideological agenda necessarily. And these folks, in the middle of the middle, you'd find countries like South Korea, countries like India, like Brazil, like Argentina. They're looking for a solution to the broader internet governance issue. Now, you might say, what is our job with that? Why should we be concerned with this as ICANN? And this is an important question, because we'd like to stick to our knitting, to be frank, and we'd like to do what we're supposed to do well. But the reality is, if we do not solve, or at least join others in the broader internet ecosystem in solving the issues here, I think that the pressure will mount on ICANN, and we will find ourselves increasingly in a place where we can no longer just sit back and either keep to our knitting, because we're getting pressure to expand what we do, which we don't want to do, or there will be people who will then create solutions outside of our multi-stakeholder model that would truly start intruding on what we do and requiring that some of what we do move into that space. And so these are the reasons we need to move. And when we looked at the situation since the Wicket, it became extremely clear that there are no solutions that are within the multi-stakeholder model, that most solutions are truly, in my opinion, pushing towards multilateral model, which also translates into intergovernmental. And without any solutions outside of our remit that are anchored in a multi-stakeholder way, we were getting, frankly, quite worried that the push will be towards a multilateral model. This became true when we heard the head of the ministry in South Korea that will be also the chair of the plenipotentiary for the ITU, Minister Yoon, say that in front of me in Seoul about a month and a half ago, when he said, we're going to move all cybersecurity aspects of internet governance to the ITU. And again, this is South Korea, I emphasize, not North Korea. This is the government that will be heading the plenipotentiary. And then we, of course, saw the position of the U.S. government in a recent regional meeting preparing an agenda for the WCDC. And the U.S. government, again, aligned itself with all South American governments in recommending the Brazilian proposal to move a lot of internet governance training to the ITU. So we started seeing signs that frankly made us quite worried that the push is towards a multilateral solution. And again, we have no alternative to that model. And it is as a result of that that the ISTAR leaders in Montevideo issued this statement to call to action all members of our community to look at an alternative solution that would move things more into the multi-stakeholder realm. Subsequently, I had a meeting with the president of Brazil, which was very seminal and very important, because she, after some discussion, came to the conclusion with us that a multilateral model would not be the right model to address broader internet governance issues. And she then called for a multi-stakeholder-focused solution. And now we're working with her along with a coalition of other internet organizations, not just ICANN, obviously, to actually shape that conference as a true multi-stakeholder conference. So this, just to give you a little bit of background on what led us to here and what happened really in the span of the last 10 weeks. And I'll stop and just make sure we make this more of a dialogue, because I'm sure many of you have heard different pieces all over the place, and maybe some clarifications are necessary. I'm here to do that so we can hopefully arrive, all of us, to Buenos Aires with at least a common understanding of what were the motivations, what are the actions, and what are the facts. David, may I give it back to you for some other?
Thank you very much, Fadi. I would now I'd like to open it up for questions from the GNSO stakeholder and constituency leaders. Would people like to just raise their hand? Elisa Cooper, why don't you start? You're first there. Bill Drake will be next.
So the reason for this call was, frankly, when we saw the Montevideo statement, we were very surprised by it. And so many of the business constituency members wanted to know why the community hadn't been consulted before ICANN had signed on to the Montevideo statement. They were also wondering about whether or not the board was aware of this. So I think a little bit of information, whatever you can share with us about why the community wasn't really in any way informed or involved, and why this couldn't wait till at least after the Buenos Aires meeting.
Okay, let's separate the questions into substance and process. First of all, on substance, Elisa, if the business constituency has an issue with the substance, then I'll come back to process because you have a point on that.
I don't know if we strongly know yet what this all means. That was another reason for the call.
Okay, so there are questions, in other words, about what was in the statement as well.
I think we have more questions around how did we get to this? Why did this happen? I understand what you're saying about why it happened. You were feeling this pressure, and I understand that, and I think the business constituency members would understand that. I think we would be interested in hearing about, will the community be involved in future positions by ICANN? Why weren't we involved, or at least informed, or I don't know, it all seems to come at us as a surprise.
Okay, no, fair enough. So your focus is more on process because, frankly, we have not had anyone look at the statement with this very simple bullet and say, this is out of the blue. How could you say this? We didn't agree to it. So, and I'm not hearing this from you. I think you're correctly asking, this happened quickly. Where do we go from here, and why weren't we involved in the process? And I'll answer this honestly, Elisa, and with all due respect. Look, if the statement had included any announcements or positions that were not existing positions or understood positions, or if we had ventured into some new ground where would have committed the ICANN and ICANN community to new principles, then frankly I would not have signed to it. This statement from our perspective was very much a putting down and writing what we have contended and said all along a million times, including ICANN's globalization. So there was nothing new to it. What was significant about it is that this was the first time the ISTAR agreed on a joint statement. I think this is the bit of news that, to me, is new, is that in general, the ISTARs always chose to do things very independently, to not appear as if we're a group of sorts. But this was the first time sitting together for 2 days talking about the issues we're all facing, where it wasn't me. I mean, it was someone in the team who said, why don't we just put out a statement for once so we look like we're a united community on these points? So that's kind of how it happened, to be frank, rather quickly. Now, the what's happening now past that statement is that there is movement. In other words, people are saying, you're right. We need to do something. We should maybe push for a multi-stakeholder conference. Maybe we should push for a bottom-up campaign. Maybe we should push for the panel that you built, Fadi, to actually give us some answers. And if that's the case, then the community needs to be involved because now we're moving into action and activity and frankly, time and resources, and this is clearly too important and too seminal for ICANN staff to do it on its own. And hence we're moving into full gearing. You know, we did it intensely in Bali because that was, frankly, the first time when a lot of our community was there. And I spent time with, you know, nonstop with our community members there. I'm doing these calls like this one with as many community members as I can. So is my staff all over the world. And yes, we are, you know, making sure everyone participates in the decision making. We're building community steering groups to manage any activities that we might engage in and evaluate them and assess them. So yes, at this point, this is not only beyond you know, the leadership team and into the community. It's also beyond the ICANN. In other words, we have ISOC involved, we have the RIRs involved, we have the CCTLDs now involved, we have the business community involved, we have multiple members of the civil society groups have named members to work with us. So it's now a broader grouping of people trying to address these broader issues. And the last part of your question was our board. Yes, before I went to Montevideo, I did meet with my board, and I shared with them the purpose of the meeting and why we're meeting. I shared with them that I feel that there are growing concerns post the witness that we have yet to build common, you know, common positions on. And I told them that I would like to go to the meeting in Montevideo and see if we can form common opinions and common kind of more of a coalition around around the common principles. And the board was very supportive and authorized me to move forward with that kind of stuff. I hope this is helpful.
Yeah, I guess one point of clarification, I think for the most part you're right. There's not anything in particular within the statement that was particularly surprising. I would say with the exception of the call for globalization for the IANA function, I think I will speak for myself. I was surprised and I'm concerned about that. But I'm going to let some others ask some questions.
No, but just to say something about that, that's an important point you bring up. The call to globalize the IANA function has been recorded for the last 3 years. In fact, I've had my team build up an entire list, and I'm happy to share it, of all the people over the last few years from all over the community who have called for that. And to be clear, the globalization of the IANA function is contemplated in the current contract we have with the Department of Commerce. So this is not a surprise. It's exactly what the Department of Commerce expected us to do at some point. It's what the community has been calling for. We compiled the list of all the public comments we received when we were doing the new contract with DOC. You know, tens of comments calling for that function to be globalized. ISOC has made that point clear to the U.S. government on multiple times, and we compiled these. The RIRs did the same. The IAB, the IETF met with the U.S. government in June and asked for these functions to be globalized. So this is on the record as where everybody's heading. I think what's new, and here I agree with you, is that the CEO of ICANN or the president of ICANN has never kind of said it. He's never said, this is where we need to go now. We've kind of let the community speak in the past and frankly dealt with it as a contractual matter and we didn't say. But I think it was clear that it was time to start talking about it, not to do it necessarily. The NTIA or the Department of Commerce has not agreed to change anything. This is just us making a statement that has been said many, many times, but now I'm making it. That's what's new, I agree. I hope this is helpful a little bit.
Yeah, I have other questions, but I see Christina and Bill Drake are in the queue, so I'd like them to ask some questions.
Sure. Thanks very much, Lisa. Bill Drake, you're next, and then Christina.
Okay, I'll be relatively brief, although I don't think the answers can be terribly brief, but since I've been in Bali and talked with Fadi and others a lot about this, I don't have all the questions that some of the others will have. Fadi, I just want to raise two concerns. One is that, and you know this, but I want to hear you speak to it, the way you've been describing the events and the way the Brazilians keep talking about it still keeps seeming to diverge. I don't know if you've seen or the transcript or the video or were there for all the various comments and statements that the Brazilians made in the formal sessions or for any of the various offline consultations they had with others besides just ICANN leadership. But they keep talking summits, taking decisions, a meeting that will announce changes, things like that. And that sounds kind of inconsistent with the way you've tried to kind of mollify people and say, well, it's a meeting, it's a part of an ongoing process, it's blah, blah, blah. So I'm just wondering about, you know, how much you feel you're really on the same page with them in terms of how they're going to represent this event to other governments, for example, when they start to coordinate and seek participation. And then the second point I wanted to ask real quickly, when you described what Dilma told you she wanted in terms of deliverables, you said principles, institutional framework, and decision-making procedures, and you explained that as meaning some kind of framework of general principles for Internet governance, which has been discussed in many places for a long time, some sort of institutional framework pertaining, I understood, to ICANN or the U.S. government roles in globalization, and some sort of decision-making procedures for orphaned issues and things that are outside the ICANN ambit. And I've heard that described differently also by the Brazilians. So sure. I'm just wondering if those two points, you could kind of like nail down for me what your understanding of
certain.
Them is.
Certain.
Because there's so much crosstalk now.
Certainly. So, first of all, thank you, Bill. Thank you very much. These are important questions you asked and ones that I'm indeed finding there is confusion about. Let me just first say that the Brazilian government and CGI have agreed with the coalition, which is not just ICANN, with us, ISOC, and all the others, that they want us to work with them towards framing exactly what the conference is about, what it will do, what it, between you and me, what it will not do. And that work will start Monday. So we are meeting with them first Monday to just kind of agree on the process, and then for the next 2 weeks, starting Monday, we will work with the community and with them to answer these questions in a very clear way. And then we told them that they should announce this joint agreement very clearly with the conference dates, place, purpose, who will be invited, what the conference will produce, what kind of conference it will be before the Buenos Aires meeting. That's a lot to do, but they've agreed to it, and the planned announcement date is either November 13th or 14th. And this is to, frankly, address a lot of the inconsistencies that, frankly, even are within their own team, because this, I must be candid, happened too fast. Even their team wasn't ready when Dilma said, yep, let's do a conference. So there is a little bit of catch-up they're all doing to put the pieces together. So, for example, some people are saying, oh, this will be all about surveillance. It won't be. And I already told them that if we even come close to the surveillance issue, we will pull out immediately, all of us. This is not about surveillance. This is not a conference that should come out with proposals to solve any particular problems. This is a conference that should focus on high-level principles. And as you said, these have been floating. A lot of us, a lot of you have done a lot of work on this. It's just putting things together for that. And should focus on an institutional framework. They have already told us they won't get to the third piece, which is the decision model. So it will be just these two things, a set of principles and an institutional framework. It's the institutional framework that is worrying many people, because we want to make sure we don't end up with some new big organization that will very quickly get corrupted as much as any big organization can. So I think the framework for what will happen will be decided shortly, and it will be decided with a set of stakeholders that we are pulling together from business, civil society, the technical organizations, CGI in Brazil, the Brazilian government, and the co-governments, the co-host governments that they're inviting. We don't know who they're inviting, but we have begged them to invite other governments, because we didn't want this to be about Brazil or to be about ICANN. We wanted it to be about a global group of middle countries and a coalition of multi-stakeholder players. So I think this is going very well, and we should keep in mind at a very high level that what we achieved here is we created the possibility of an alternative to the multilateral model, which did not exist before Dilma agreed to do this. This is what just happened. Now, of course, we have to shape it. And the good news is they're agreeing to involve our whole community in shaping what this conference will be about. And you mentioned summit. Indeed, when I was with her, she used the word summit and conference interchangeably. But what she did agree with me on, for sure, is that this cannot be a conference of government officials or of heads of state. This has to be a multi-stakeholder conference: business, civil society, technical organizations, and government. Now, because she's inviting host countries, co-host countries, there was some discussion that I heard from her staff saying, should the meeting start with her having a pre-meeting with senior people from, for example, if Angela Merkel came or some other major world leader came, should she have a chat with them, and then the conference itself would follow? I don't know where that is, to be honest. I'm not in favor of it, but it's not my decision. But I did tell them that I prefer quite the opposite. And I told her that when I met her, that I would prefer that, if anything, this meeting shouldn't start with a meeting at head of state, but it should start with us opening the floor to hear from users around the world through virtual screens that can participate and share their opinions and views that all of us could hear. And she liked that idea when I shared it with her. But again, a lot of that is being shaped as we speak. And again, it's not just ICANN. It's a group of us working with them. Does that help a bit, Bill, to clarify something?
It does, but I don't mean to belabor it, but can you just clarify then, if Part 3 fell away, the decision, what you were calling decision-making procedures, and we're focusing on Part 2, institutional frameworks, is that piece about the U.S. government role?
No, not at all. We actually even told them that it cannot be about that. They said then, could the conference even make a statement similar to the statement that was made from Montevideo on the globalization of ICANN? I said, yeah, that's fine. You can make a statement. I mean, I can't stop a conference from doing that, given that I've made the statement and our fellow ICER organizations made the statement. But no, the institutional framework has nothing to do with ICANN. The institutional framework is the mechanism by which we can create a multi-stakeholder approach on a national and global level for addressing internet governance topics. So it's how does either a country or a country within an international system take a topic and find a solution for it? Excuse me. So that's basically the concept, and it's hard to describe and do on the phone, but if you wish, maybe we could frankly have a session with a few of us to think through this together when we are in Buenos Aires. But as you know, ICANN has a fifth panel that I have not had a chance to fully put together and announce yet. And that panel, if you remember, there were four that were announced. The fifth one is called the Internet Governance Panel. That panel I will probably wrap up now that I'm back and hopefully announce next week. And that part of that panel's work will be to, in fact, produce some blueprints of institutional frameworks. Now, the Brazil conference will take input from anyone, but our panel could be one of many pieces of input. And this is where I hope our community and all of us, especially you, though, with your background, we could be influencing the models that we're comfortable with for the overall global Internet governance space.
This is David. Keith Drasek says, how does this new structure differ from what exists today at the IGF? And then I'll get back to Christina next.
The IGF it will continue to serve its role as a convening body that brings people together to discuss emerging issues and to learn from each other. And I don't think this will go away. This will always be here. The intent, and in my opinion, it will be very much part of that institutional framework that should be drawn. It won't be outside of it. It will be part of it. But I think there are some mechanisms that are missing that are not in the IGF today, mechanisms that would enable stakeholders to actually address, find agreement on how to address a particular topic. And again, this is very complex to do on the phone, but we can do it in person when we're together. But this is the idea there. Now, could these mechanisms be embedded into the IGF process and enhanced so we have kind of an IGF plus? Maybe. That would be part of what we would need to be discussing in the months ahead and developing. Some folks are extremely nervous about enabling anything within a UN process because the UN, as Yanis Kirkland was telling me the other day, you know, you can go up or down anyway, but the UN is, at the end of the day, an intergovernmental body. That's how it functions. That's how it thinks. And in the UN model, multi-stakeholderism is there simply to inform. It is not there to decide anything. The multiple stakeholders can talk all day and share all their ideas all day, but at the end of the day, it's governments that make the call. That's the UN model. So do we want to enhance the IGF to be the place where any decisions are made in a multi-stakeholder way? If that's feasible, then maybe that will be the outcome. Again, it's not for me or any one of us to decide. This is exactly the kind of dialogue that we're starting. Is this helpful, Keith?
Yes, thank you, buddy.
Sure.
Christina, I know you've been waiting. You're next, please.
Oh, thank you. First, Fadi, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us about this issue. Alisa and Bill have actually asked many of the questions that I had, and the information that you shared in response to those questions has been extremely helpful. I did actually, though, want to circle back, if we could, to the statement and drill down a little. What has struck me the more I read it is that it is very clearly limited to being the from by and on behalf of the leaders of the organizations and not necessarily the organizations themselves. So just circling back to the comment that you made about how you had talked with the board and that you wanted to be able to form common statements around common principles, the questions I have are these. First, was the board aware that it was these principles around yeah. which you wanted to form the common statements? And second, is there an intention or has it actually happened already that the board has ratified the statement as a formal kind of resolution, shall we say, of the board as opposed to, at this point, it's phrased in such a way that it could be characterized as a statement that you've made, you are CEO, but not necessarily on behalf of the organization. So
yeah.
just having a little bit of clarity about the ratification and current status of the statement with regard to ICANN organization would be helpful.
So there was no particular statement or set of points that the board had. when they set me on to go meet with the other leaders. It was more that the board understood the broad problem that is beyond ICANN, as well as the issue of globalizing ICANN. And they said, we understand, we appreciate that these have been on the plate of ICANN, and it's part of our normal effort. So, you know, if you can build, if you can work with other leaders to start building joint efforts, so it's not ICANN, so ICANN is not leading, to address these issues, then yeah, go give it a shot. And once you go there and you put together something, if this requires then that we go beyond that and do other things, please come back to us. Please come back and talk to the board. As to ratification, I must tell you, I had not thought about that, but I really like the idea. I didn't think of it, to be honest, but I like the idea of the board ratifying it. But I am something, and I'm thinking loud now, Christina. I'm just thinking maybe there is even a better way. Maybe if we can get our community to somehow ratify it, because it's a statement of purpose, right? It's not a statement that is prescribing a solution. It's simply saying, kind of, we believe in these things. So let me, I don't know, if you have ideas, drop them to me, but you definitely got me thinking that there may be a way for us to have our community, you know, look at the statement and either embrace it or in some way ratify it. Maybe the board, but more appealing to me would be if we can get the community to do that somehow in Buenos Aires. I like that. Do you have any specific ideas on that, Christina, that you could share now or drop me in the line about?
My initial reaction is that I would doubt, quite frankly, that the ITC would, given how close we are to Buenos Aires, be in a position to participate in any kind of ratification at that meeting.
Mm. Because of time, you mean? Not so much because of what it is.
Well, no, not necessarily. I think, as Elisa indicated, there are certainly some phrases in there that are susceptible to numerous meanings. It's my understanding, in fact, that some of the organizations whose leaders signed the statement actually view some of the statements to have different meanings than how ICANN interprets them. So
yeah.
I think it's not as easy as it sounds, just to step up.
Okay. Fair enough. No, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Look, I mean, I think interpreting a document like this could chew up more time than we need, because what we really need to do is to address the real threat as well as the real opportunity we have to shape how multi-stakeholder approaches continue to work on a broader level. And that's the opportunity. That's the opportunity that when we looked at next year's calendar with both the WTDC in April, a purely multilateral approach, or the plenipotentiary in October, again, a pure multilateral approach, we saw no momentum on the multi-stakeholder front. And if you really think about it, we were heading into a year where it's all multilateral. And even the IGF 2014 was not secured. There was nobody backing it. And it's very unusual that we are a year away and we couldn't even announce who will be there. So we worked also very hard in the background to get Turkey and Brazil to back it in 2014 and 2015. This didn't happen on its own. So at least we put an anchor in 2014 now, and it will be the first week of September, for a multi-stakeholder event, the IGF in Istanbul. And then we worked with the middle country, Brazil, to try and create another event before that that would at least make sure our agenda for multi-stakeholders is upheld. And let's work very hard to make that the case, because, of course, it could go sideways. There's a risk, but we have an opportunity to shape it, and Brazil has been open to that. We'll go do our best to share.
Thank you. I just I'd like to know if we have a few more minutes. We're a little bit approaching our time frame. Fadi, do you have a few more minutes? Because we have two or three other top speakers.
I do. My flight is in about 45 minutes, so I'm okay for another 15 minutes. Or so.
Okay, fine. The next would be and then Tony Holmes and Steve Craven.
Hey, thank you
for being
thank
in the queue as well, please, David.
And that is?
That was McKaylee.
It's McKaylee. Sorry, I don't have a computer in front of me.
Yes, McKaylee, I'll put you on the queue. Thank you. Keith, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, David. Thanks, Fadi. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you on this today. Before I start with a comment and a question, it's important for me to note that the Registry Stakeholder Group does not have a formal or agreed-to position on the Montevideo statement, recent developments in the Internet governance arena. Frankly, we just have not had the time. Things have been moving quickly, as you noted. With everything we're preparing for with new GTLDs and getting ready for Buenos Aires, we simply just have not had a chance to, get our heads together and determine whether we have a formal position. So I want to make that clear before I start. I think I'd like to echo the concerns that Elisa and I think a few others have raised about sort of the process. And, a little bit of I personally and in conversations with colleagues in the registry's group are fairly concerned that, as the CEO of ICANN, you've been making, very public announcements or proclamations on the international stage with, in our view, without consulting or at least at a minimum informing the community about what's coming. So to Elisa's point, I think there's an element of surprise in a lot of the discussion points, in a lot of the communication that's been coming from ICANN and ICANN's leadership in recent weeks. So again, just to reiterate, I would strongly encourage you to, come back to the community and to engage with the community on these critical issues. I think, generally speaking, I think there's a recognition in the community that internet governance continues to be an extremely important component of what we do. But ICANN is just is an organization that has a very narrow remit and mandate. And as you communicate and engage with leaders on the world stage, whether it's national leaders or management representatives of the other ISTARs, I think it's critical that you have the benefit of the input from your community, from the ICANN community. And to that point, my question, you mentioned earlier about how important it is for ICANN to keep to our knitting, and I applaud that. And you mentioned that you're getting pressure, that we are getting pressure to expand what we do. And I'm a little bit curious as to what pressure that is and who is pressuring us to expand what we do. And I'll stop there. Thanks.
These are largely governments that, like ICANN and like what ICANN has done, who have approached me, some formally, some informally. The last specific was the Minister of Telecommunications in Turkey, asking why don't we start taking on all the other topics that are left unattended in order not to arrive to the wicket with... And so you have to walk people again through why and why not. But the position that the community has made very clear to me, and I understand is exactly where we need to be, and I believe is where we need to be, is that we should stick to our remit, and that if other issues need to be addressed, then the broader internet ecosystem should find ways to address them. My hope is in a multi-stakeholder way. So that's the part where we are vocal, that we cannot address these issues in a multilateral way. It doesn't solve the issue. Because if people start solving all internet issues or bigger internet issues in a multilateral way, this will also come back and put pressure on us. And so this is largely in a set of activities so that we stick to our knitting and we make sure that we don't get further pressure either to expand what we do or to have what we do go to a multilateral form. and I think there is a definite weakening of the U.S. government in its global position in internet governance. And this is not Fadi saying that. This is the U.S. government telling me that. And we saw it in Bali as well. There is a definite the positions that were largely catalyzed by the stance of our U.S. government in international fora do not have a strong catalyzer right now. Our U.S. government has even come to the conclusion that they're not sure that there is another government that can actually catalyze the communities around a multi-stakeholder way. And so we're doing our part along with the rest of the leaders to just make sure that we keep the world focused on a multi-stakeholder solution. This happens very fast, Pete, so I must agree with you that more engagement with our community so that they understand what I'm sharing with you and I can listen also and understand what their concerns are is needed. Yeah. And God knows I'm putting all the time I can and my team is, and we'll do more and more and more as much as we can to make sure everyone listens and everyone is involved and everyone participates in how we head there. But this is an ongoing process, and it takes time. But the events in the world are moving quite fast right now. And that's not because of us, as you know. There are things making events move as fast as they are.
So, thank you, Fadi. Just a very brief follow-up, because I know there's a couple in the queue. I would encourage you to possibly draft, whether it's a blog or a paper or something that really lays out your vision and the vision of the people that you've been consulting with and working with for the community's benefit, because I feel like we've, in the last several weeks, had new information, new statements, new decisions coming out almost on a weekly basis through speeches and conversations and interviews. And I think it would be really helpful for the entire community, as we're trying to catch up to events that have overtaken us, to better understand your vision, in a written form. I think that would be extremely valuable. So thanks again for the interaction today.
That's a good idea, and I will follow up on it for sure.
Tony Holmes and then Michele. Tony, please.
Thank you, David. Just to say, Fadi, that just to qualify this, I think the broad unease that was exposed by Elisa and others is something that was very broad, and certainly within the ISP community there was quite a bit of unease over this as well. And I must also say that the ISPs have no formal position now. But picking up on a couple of points that you've made, I think a lot of us are struggling, because even on this call you mentioned that we've really got a couple of weeks to pull together some multi-stakeholder input. And that's a really tough call to get that buy-in and to get that achieved in the right way. And I accept the fact that there was no momentum on the multilateral approach and that we needed to work on that. But I really have some fears over this. And I think we were at the stage where most of us, we were even getting used to the concept of the strategy panels. And I've heard tonight that the intent is to pull the Internet Governance Panel into this discussion, and that was something that a lot of us were still getting our minds around how that was going to work anyway. But to keep this really brief and focused, I have two real fears at the moment. One is that the pace this is moving, I think there's a real fear that we could end up in a position where you lose the community if you're not very careful. And ICANN doesn't remain as cohesive and doesn't remain having the full support of a community that really has this at their heart and cares about it so much. Because this is moving so fast, a lot of us are feeling that we're on the outside looking in. And that's one fear that I had. The other fear is that if we all work together and we go ahead with this, I think governments certainly go into it knowing exactly what they want. I would suggest a number of us from our side, we're still not quite sure what we're signing up for. And I think on the other side of the argument, they have that clear vision. We're still trying to pull together our views on this. And my biggest worry is that if we move ahead and the event that is being planned isn't a success, I believe we actually go into WSIS Plus 10 in a far worse position than we would have done if it hadn't taken place at all.
Tony, just on the last sentence you said, explain to me how we could be in a worse position.
Because I think that if there's some dialogue that actually takes place that isn't acceptable for the community on some of the really hardline stuff, and I do believe that a number of governments will use this event to push very, very hard for exactly what they want. Some of it will probably cross that red line that some folks in ICANN may not be able to accept. And if we cannot come to some, let's say, agreement over some of those things, then I think the stakes for WSIS Plus 10 have increased considerably.
Let me just interject, because I think this is where I disagree with the logic you just laid out. You said if some governments go to that event and lay out the solution that we're not in agreement with, these same governments you're talking about will be sitting at the table at the WTDC in April, and they can make these same exact things you just said. And in WTDC, it's only governments at the table. It's nobody else.
And that is
why the same thing with the plenty pots, right? So how could we be worse when we are creating an opportunity
where a
leading government is going to have an actual multi-stakeholder conference where the president of that country inviting us has agreed already that the people sitting at the table will be government, civil society, and industry, side by side, participating on an equal footing. How could it be worse?
I believe it's worse because what we've actually done is go down the path of trying to solve it in a way that did give the multi-stakeholder model some input, and that is our one chance of success. If we hadn't have had that event in front of the WSIS Plus 10 event or WTDC, then I think there's still room to maneuver and have that. This is
a one-shot
attempt.
But we have no other chance, right? I mean, if we didn't have this and the IGF bake, what chances did we have to even voice our views?
Well, then I go back to my earlier point, Fadi, that is that this is so important. The arguments need to be marshaled in such a way that they bring the whole community along with them. If the speed of this is going to be prohibitive on that, then I think we are in a worse place.
Well, again, I'm sorry, Tony, but I think the points you're making are that we would be worse off if this went wrong, but if this didn't go wrong, right, we don't have any other chance to do anything. As to the speed, frankly, I'll be candid with you, I think all of us as an ecosystem have failed at mobilizing when we should have mobilized. So here we are, this year is almost over, the IGF in Bali was almost dead, the hotels were being canceled, so we wouldn't even have had a chance to have a multi-stakeholder meeting this year. And no one was really pulling together any path other than the path of a multilateral solution heading to the WSIS. Nothing. Zero. So is it moving too fast? Yes, because, frankly, we're almost 8 months late to mobilize. And I take part of that blame with everyone else. But here we are, and I ask all of you, what is the alternative to moving fast? Should we slow it down? Should we slow it down? Should we, if we decide right now to pull the plug and say, you know, we made our points, it's important to have a multi-stakeholder meeting, but we're going to just take our time to discuss this and... No, we're not going to participate in the conference. We're not going to start a true multi-stakeholder dialogue on a broad basis across all the community.
Well, it's rather late for that.
Yeah.
I agree. I totally agree. And we should all take some responsibility for being late. And it is too late now to have that discussion. But the measure of doing this I believe, in the right way, was to make sure whatever is taken forward, it's on the basis that we're all sure that the community is going to move down that path with full support. And I do believe there's a risk there currently if it isn't handled in the right way. I really hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I'm not.
No. I don't think you're wrong, by the way. In other words, you are right that there is a risk. And the way to solve that risk is to do more calls like this, to set up more working groups and teams of people that work together, to bring the broader community together, and that's what we're doing. The risk will be increased if we do not do that. I agree with you on that point. The question was, it's not that we need the community, or if we need the community, and if we should involve the community in every decision we make on these fronts, along with our sister organizations and other groupings. The question is, do we slow it down? But not if we should do it. So I'm agreeing with you. And by the way, every task we take has risks, including this significant risk. But I hope you agree with me that risk of doing nothing right now is probably much worse.
Okay,
the last question will be from Michele. Michele, please.
Thank you for giving me the last word. I feel honored. I think several people have raised some of the concerns that I think we all would share. Fadi, I mean, to you, I'd say if you can continue that some kind of dialogue in Buenos Aires, that would be helpful. I think the information sharing is key, because sometimes some of these statements are almost like a broadside. We don't know when they're going to happen. They suddenly happen, and as we're all kind of running around afterwards trying to understand what the hell happened. I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of changes going ahead in the future. From the registrar's perspective, I think we don't have any particular strong view at the moment, but possibly, as Keith said, it's because there's so much other stuff going on. We really haven't had the time or the ability to focus on that specific, on those specific issues. But continued dialogue would be helpful.
That's a good point, Michele. And again, we're doing a lot of that. We have been doing a lot of that. I've had, on average, about 22 briefings a day since Montevideo. I counted. So we're, all of us, Sara is doing them, Sally is doing them, David is doing them. I mean, the reason I'm talking to all of you is not just to brief you, but in the hope that you would help me brief your community. So I'm hoping that out of this meeting, you could also help me with briefing your communities, engaging them in the dialogue, and learning what questions they may still have. And in Buenos Aires, we're going to have many sessions. We even have asked the minister from Brazil to come personally to our meeting and, you know, engage our community directly, so people don't have, you know, guesses as to what he's guessing. There he is. You know, have him come and talk to them. So we're extremely focused on engaging and listening and adjusting our course and involving the community. You have my word on that, and we will continue doing this every day, frankly, from now until the wishes. So we have a couple of years of doing that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Fadi. I think we have to make sure that our time is up at this stage, and people have to go on to other events, and you have to catch a plane. I just would like to thank everyone for participation and for the questions. We will have this session recorded and transcribed, and we'll circulate that to you. And also, Fadi and other ICANN executives will be holding a webinar next week on the post-Bali developments to continue this dialogue on the 8th of November at 2:00. We've sent some notifications around to you as well. So we encourage you to share the transcript and recordings with your community, be on that webinar next week, and continue the dialogue and discussion with us in Buenos Aires and beyond. With that, I'd like to thank everyone. Thank you, Fadi. And we'll be back to you with the details and the recording as soon as we can.
Thank you. Thank you, all of you, for taking the time. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. We'll be in touch.
Thank you. Thank you.
You may stop the recording.